CliffCentral.com.
Yep. Good morning, everybody. We are live. It is happening. It's happening from our various locations across South Africa. That's right. I am in my house, and we will all be in our houses from tomorrow. And in Johannesburg, we have in two separate locations, Bulelo Tinta and Pinky Mukemane. Good morning to you both.
Good morning.
And Sia Sangweni, who has made his way to Durban. Exciting stuff. Hey, Sia.
Hey, good morning. Hey,
Sia's broadcasting from the laundry room in his parents' house, which is the furthest from all the bedrooms and probably makes the better soundproof studio than, you know, any of the other rooms might have been.
I am so the red-headed stepchild of this family. It's only a matter of time before they really tell me.
Well, the sun at least comes up a little bit earlier for you in Durban, Sia. Of course, you're further east than the rest of us.
It's looking a little gray for now, but the fact that it's really bright at 6 a.m. Mm. is a great thing. I feel awake.
Yeah, I think the first few days of this thing, we're all going to have a fun adventure. It's going to be, oh, it's exciting, and we're doing this from home. And then by about the fifth or sixth day, we're going to start getting really frustrated that we can't leave our houses. And we're going
feeling true cabin fever.
Yeah, all that stuff that's exciting now, like, ooh, I'm going to make something for supper tonight, and it's going to be different to what I usually do. It's going to be boring in 5 days' time. Telling you now.
Well, so far, I've just felt the perks of being home instantly when I arrived yesterday afternoon because there was a home-cooked dinner. I thought, yay!
Oh, nice.
I don't have to eat Doritos as supper anymore.
But Sia, weren't your parents, weren't they self-quarantining from the rest of you and now you're all together?
I didn't really think about it much from their perspective.
I mean, they were quite happy to be away from the rest of you, right? Now you've all imposed yourselves on them.
Gareth, don't put words into their mouths. They were very glad to see me, okay?
Well, not just you, but your sisters as well. Like, your parents are in that risk category, aren't they? Like most of our parents are.
We did have very frank conversations about this because I was very shocked somewhat to see them a little freaked out by all of this, because usually, you know, they're mature and they're the adults and they take control of things. And just to the conversations I was having with them, they really aren't mincing their words. This is startling to them.
Yeah.
And just even the way, you know, my sister opened up and greeted me at the door yesterday. And as soon as I arrived, she greeted me with a bottle of some sanitizer.
Oh,
she's
really?
Like, okay. Couldn't disagree with her, actually, because, you know, there's my niece who's here, two of my nieces who are here, and my parents as well. And as much as it may be comforting for all of us to be here together as a family, we also have to face the realities of things, you know?
Yeah. Mm. Well, it's going to take some getting used to all of this, I'm afraid. It's not something that anybody is excited about in the long run, even though in the beginning it feels, you know, it's sort of different. And you know, the idea of waking up in my own house and just going straight to the studio, which is in another room in my house, that was exciting for day one and two. And I can already feel it's like, I don't know about this. And it's not because I'm by any means, I'm happy. I mean, like, I like living in my house, and I've always been happier at home than most people. I'm not a big traveler. And yet, it's made me appreciate some of the stuff around me a little bit more. Because I'm spending every hour here. So, like, I get into my bed and I'm just really happy to be in my bed. And, you know, I get into the shower in the morning and I just feel like it's, you know, I designed the house. So it was designed for me to spend a lot of time in. And when you're going to work every day and you're spending the majority of your time out of your house, you appreciate it so much more when you're in it. So I get that completely. And I'm very fortunate that I love where I live. I don't know if that's true for everybody, you know?
You know, I've started to realize that I really appreciate my freedom. Because just knowing that, and I think we don't really consider that.
Yeah.
But knowing that the next 21 days I can't go anywhere is, whew, it's a bit too much.
Yeah, it's scary. And Pinky, you're going to be on your own, right?
No, my friend is here.
Oh, okay, so you're staying with somebody. Because being only on your own is also a little bit challenging. Like, you're going to get lonely very quickly. And as we discussed with Dr. D the other day, people get depressed, you know. Stuff starts getting a bit hectic.
Mm.
After a while.
And I mean, I was really not handling it from Monday.
Really?
I went shopping for a bit. I was looking for chicken wings.
Yeah.
2 weeks. Oh my goodness.
You know, priorities in life, Pinky.
Yeah.
Like, well, that's all that I want, chicken wings. And to date, I still haven't gotten chicken wings.
Oh my goodness. So I also had similar thinking yesterday, though, when I started seeing all of the restaurants, like the big fast food chains, announcing that they'll all be closing. I'm like, oh, I should have had one last burger. Is no one else freaking out?
I'm annoyed about that.
I had one last ice cream.
I thought I would have had, a little bit of time under lockdown to have deliveries done, and now none of that's going to happen. Have you seen which minister is the main bad guy now?
Mind, I didn't think it was important.
Yeah, I didn't think so either. But it's funny what
which
becomes,
minister is?
Which minister's the bad guy now? Is Becky Cele? He's the one who's like, no, you can't walk your dogs, and no, you can't go to the takeaways. Cook in your house. Very hardcore.
Yeah, but walk your dogs. That's a recreational activity. Do us a favor.
Yeah, but I mean, for some people, it's the only exercise they get. Huh?
That whole panel press conference last night, to me was, yes, informative, but also just a comedy of errors. Because how many ministers were there? 4 in total, right?
Somewhere around there. I didn't watch the whole thing. I watched Stellanda Benny Abrams, because she is a minister, for communications. And I thought, if there's anything in the communications business, I better pay attention. And she didn't say anything really useful. I mean, I see that Natim Tetwa is trying to keep artists and performers alive, which I suppose is something. Yeah, I never thought about them, really. They've got a pretty shitty time ahead of them, because you can't perform anywhere. How are you going to make an income,
If you're a complete freelancer, my goodness, I have no idea what you'll be doing right now.
I mean, think of singers, dancers, actors, people who work on productions and events. That is just dead. There's nothing you can do there. Nothing. You can't even do... Like, I know Alan Ford was trying to organize...
And prostitutes.
Thank you, Pinky, for always thinking about the prostitutes, because we know Sia does not consider prostitutes and strippers to be performers, but they are.
Oxford Street's going to be dead quiet this week.
Yeah, Oxford Street's going to be dead. It's going to be terrible. And you think about shows like Alan Ford was trying to organize this thing where Mnet would open a channel up and allow people to do whatever shows they might have done during the normal course of things, and they would have done it at a particular venue, and then they'd broadcast it so everyone could see it, and people might make a donation or whatever. But the problem with that is you put a whole bunch of people in the same room then, and they could infect each other, right? So it's a disaster.
There is scam.
You can't do that. So there's no way for people to do this properly. Although I did see, did you see Zolani Mahola? She put together a little music video.
Oh, yes, with the likes of Karen Zoid and Anna Carstens, Luis Obala, Majorzy.
That's right.
The song is called That Guy.
Let me try and play it.
A little funny.
Let me try and play this quickly. I'll see if I can do this. Because it's quite cute. I mean, she's got all of these people like calling in. Take a listen. So she's in her house. She got Theo Kroos on the guitar. Karen Zoid.
The whole wide world has gone insane.
Majorzy.
Cause suddenly the things we know are not the same.
Otto Carstens.
But that doesn't mean we lose control.
And Zalani.
Cause now's the time to keep from falling apart.
We gotta keep love in our hearts. Friends, don't let friends panic by.
Friends, don't let friends panic by.
Cause you don't wanna be that guy. Please think of those in need. We got a lot of hungry mouths to feed.
Branch off and coke.
Good will it do if you take all the luro?
Bro, Muni Ali Black.
Oh, yeah, that's what's his name? Jack Parrow, right? Yeah. Very good. Now, why is this thing not working anymore? Anyway, you get the basic idea. All right,
yeah,
there we go.
Yeah, I think it's really smart.
Yeah, very, very nice. So well done to Zolani and the team.
Very cool.
Yeah, putting together some entertainment, and I think they did that all on Skype.
Yeah, the wonders of modern technology.
See? So some performers are finding a way. I know it sounds horrible, but I'm not really... Oy, how do I say this without being a completely insensitive asshole? I think that there are a lot of jobs that are not essential. And I know there's a lot of talk at the moment about what's essential, what is an emergency, services, food supply, those kinds of things. But we suddenly realize in an economy like this where we're all under pressure, some of the stuff people do, and I include, I'm afraid, you know, travel, tourism, leisure, all those restaurants, all the things we considered to be our entertainment for the longest time, and that we prioritized. I mean, if you think about how much money you spent in the last month before this coronavirus thing happened on entertaining yourself, whether it's food, drink, events, parties, transport to get to and from things like that. That's probably where you spent the majority of your money. And for what? Now you've suddenly realized you're stuck at home and you can't spend any of that shit and you wasted all that money. Am I wrong?
No, you're right. Hey?
Yeah,
you're 100% right.
I think Sia and I buy food. Well, we used to buy food every morning.
Yeah.
Monday to Friday.
Right, and you realize how much
saving for the next exactly
how much you waste. I mean, like I have nothing I need to spend money on at the moment. I mean, I went and bought the last few things yesterday. I realized I needed cleaning stuff because I know what's going to happen. I'm going to get stuck here at home, and after tonight midnight when the lockdown happens, I'm pretty much going to be in my house. I'm not going anywhere, and as a result, I'm going to start tidying like ferociously. I'm going to be wiping stuff down and dusting and vacuuming and all of that shit, because that's what I do, and it's going to become obsessive, so I needed a whole lot of cleaning materials. But when I was walking through the shop, and there were one or two people who had very, very big piled trolleys, but the rest, most of them were quite calm. There were no shelves that were empty.
And did you not feel a little anxious walking into the shop, being around people?
You know,
did you take any precautions?
Do you agree with me, if you've been to the shops in the last day two or three, do you agree that people have this wild look in their eyes? Not everybody. You know what I mean? Like, they've got this look on their face like, you know, I would kill and eat you if I really had to. You know what I'm not trying to be dramatic here, but you know what I'm talking about.
I think it's like a glint of I will do anything to survive right now in their eyes.
Like, get in the way of me and that piece of meat that I'm looking at behind you, and I will kill you.
We don't have to worry about people with trolley rage between that. It's how you stay alive.
Sia, why don't you tell us about your flight?
Yeah, I was actually surprised by how orderly it all was at the airport and how many precautions were put in place for the better. So whether it's, you know, the government who made this happen, if it was, you know, the airports company, South Africa, whoever it was, I found that actually we really have everything in place way more than I thought we would. You know, as busy as OR Tambo is, you know, I saw all of the tapes on the floor whenever we were standing in queues. Mm-hmm. There were hand sanitizers every couple of meters where we were walking. And even just on the flight itself, as soon as we took off, there was as much as it was arm doors and cross check, et cetera, one of the announcements was, please understand that our cabin crew will not be serving anyone. They are merely here for safety reasons. But other than that, this is another precaution that we are taking to ensure that we all stay safe and that not a concerted effort to spread the virus is taking place. So I was really, really pleased. Huh?
Well, in the day before the plague, we used to complain about what they fed us on planes. Now we're just happy to get on the plane.
Well, look, I did have a first world problem complaint when I was at the airport and I went to the lounge. And to certain things at the lounge as well. But there, once again, another precaution. In the biggest scheme of things, it's a good thing, but they weren't serving anyone. All of the freshly baked goods or the great menu that's well thought out was not there.
Oh boy.
Everything was pre-packaged to ensure that there wasn't staff who was handling food and could possibly spread the virus as well. So everything was pre-packaged, but I thought a garage store for things and, you know, plastic items like this, you know, come to the lounge for certain luxuries, but I didn't have that, but I understood as well.
Well, I think a word of congratulations then to AXA, to the airlines who really have, I know that they're all looking down the barrel of a particularly shit month, and some people are going to lose their jobs there, and for them to carry on about their business in this very orderly way is to their credit. So well done to all the airlines who operate until today. Well done to AXA, and well done to the government too. I mean, I saw Fikile Mbalula. It was one of his better press conferences. He, out of all the ministers, I thought he did very well. You know, he maintained. He does shout into microphones, but he can't help that because he's got like an insecurity complex. But he's a smart guy in terms of realizing he had to step up this time, and there are things he had to do. I mean, he's had to ban taxis. Now, you know, government's never stood up to the taxi drivers.
That's true.
He's had to tell people you've got to stay in your houses, no buses, emergency and essential services only, freight. He's under huge constraints in terms of what he's allowed to let cross border, trains, planes, all of that stuff suddenly comes into his purview as Minister of Transport. And what I have realized is that some government ministers are now starting to take their jobs very seriously. They've realized like, there are immediate severe consequences to them not delivering on their basic jobs. And I think that this is great because we get to hold them to account every day at these press conferences. And even though the media are such morons, they really are such morons. If you listen to their questions, they are like the dumbest people in the room. And I've often criticized ministers of ours for being dumb. But the media people, if I had to deal with those nincompoops every day, I would give up.
But so also well now I can tell that some journalists are just gunning for a moment. They're gunning for something.
Yeah, they want something viral to happen so that they can be famous and they don't have to work for a stupid newspaper or whatever forever. So they're trying to be famous.
Tell a good story. You can just tell the story as it is. Yeah. Yeah, between Minister Mbalula and Minister Cele, they felt to me like your stern uncle.
Yeah, they were like, this is how it's going to be, guys, so get ready. Yeah.
There was a lot of finger wagging and stern voices. I'm thinking, oh, okay then, sure, I'll sit here then. I'll obey what you say.
Yeah, I got a message here from Eleanor. She says, those people who look at you, if you cough or sneeze anywhere near them, it'll be the last time, motherfucker. And she says she's even started doing that, even walking on the street if someone coughs or sneezes. Yeah, I realized that because I get the sniffs at this time of year, right? And that's just because I think it's mainly hay fever or whatever. But always March is not the greatest month. And people look at you funny if you even sniff or sneeze. God forbid you should sneeze.
We aren't playing that game right now.
No, they think you're the devil. The devil. And people do have a wild look. So people are agreeing with me here. Venetia saying, not a lot of eye contact. When people come close to you with their trolley, they go beep, beep, so we don't get too close to each other. Stay safe. Yeah. And then someone saying, is that song by Zolani and Company, Pick and Pay Commission, to stop people from panic buying?
Yes, it was.
But my favorite thing is being in the shops and seeing the different types of personalities. You know, there are those people that observe the 1.5 meter.
Yeah.
And you just see like a guy in an overall who's probably just had a brutal day.
Yeah.
And just wants a loaf of bread and a Coke. And he's like standing on, literally on the lady's back. And you can feel her getting mad. I love it.
Yeah, so on the opposite side of the scale, as much as I'm, for example, our governments and how they're dealing with us traveling yesterday, I think the problem lies with us, the people.
Well,
because I thought, are these people okay? And do they understand what is going on? I had to, in certain queues that I was standing in, firmly stand on a line and not move just because there was space in front of me, because some people were right behind me. They were like pressed behind each other.
Well,
I saw, yeah.
This is why people say, you know, some people need a government. I'm always saying less government is better, and people are mostly able to do the right thing and see to themselves and look after their kids and their husbands and wives and family. But they can't really. And there are lots of people who absolutely don't know what to do in a crisis. They lose their minds. And you can see it. People are driving so crazily. I mean, even from last week, you can see they're like, I need to get here. And it's a matter of life or death. So if you're in my way, I'm just going to drive right into you.
No, it's silly and stupid and irresponsible. I think the family for me that took... No, just the cherry on the cake in this instance was a couple who have a toddler and probably a kid who was like 3 or 4 years old. These two kids were barefoot.
Oh boy.
They were running around and the toddler was eating something. It was some sort of sweet and was very sticky. So in between walking and dealing with the sweets, and they'd stumble and fall and pick and touch the floor and carry on walking. And I'm thinking, no one here has any like mask. No one here has anything protective, because they were, sorry to stereotype, but they were Vali looking people. So they were wearing like shorts and vests. And I'm thinking, that is actually the problem. That is a problem right there.
And Sia, how was the seating on the plane?
Ooh. So I got right to my seat as quickly as possible. I did a wipe down of note, and I've never stayed that put and in one position for as long as I did.
Were there people next to you, or was there adequate spacing?
Unfortunately, there was like a lady right next to me, and I thought, can you get the hint to possibly move elsewhere? Because there was a free seat in our aisle on the other side, but she didn't. And I had just made sure that I crossed my arms and I had my legs together, and I was just not putting my balance anywhere else.
Sure.
Or does that keep away the virus?
It's saying no to the virus. That's what you do.
Yeah. Cross your legs.
Your
arms.
No. This is an interesting message that we've just got from Bulgaria. There's Sean who listens to us in Bulgaria. He says, I listen to you guys daily. Best show in the week is when Leanne is on. I love her. She's classic. Anyway, we have a lockdown here, 15 days already. First few days were hectic, but people seem to have settled down. The lockdown in South Africa should not have allowed everyone to go back to their hometowns. They will just spread the virus. I thought about that.
Mm. I saw a lot of social media conversation around that because of some photos that emerged from Park Station in Johannesburg. And I don't know if they are, you know, the most recent photos or not, but we often see images like that every time there's any sort of holiday, an Easter break or December, people load up on buses and trains and they go back to their hometowns.
Yeah, I mean, Sean says that the lockdown shouldn't have allowed us to go home to our hometowns because that's what's happened in Italy. The ski resorts closed. All the seasonal workers went back home and spread the virus like wildfire. People moved without knowing that they have the virus. I hope this won't be the case in South Africa. Well, I think it was Bergamo is the one town which is where most of the cases have been, and that's actually the town that has the most communication with Wuhan. So that could be a reason why it broke out extra badly there. But, you know, as much as we can contain this thing. And I do think, all things considered, our government really is trying its best. You can see that they, you know, those ministers are working. And they're working every single day. And they've got important decisions to make. And they're listening to experts. From what I can tell, this is being taken very seriously. It's not like, you know, like ESCOM or SAA, which where there's ideology and bullshit thrown in. In this case, these people are taking it very, very seriously.
I want to say that is, like, what do you do when people are scared? You can already see what we did. Our first thing is to look after ourselves. When people are scared, it's natural inclination. So we have to make a choice. Either we go China and Japan route, where we go draconian, scared. And people run home to their parents. You might think you're 35 years old, but... Yeah. When people get scared, they go to mom and dad. Mm-hmm. I'm afraid either we go China route or this is the route. And it's, yeah, I would have preferred the China route, but here we are.
Yeah. Have you heard about the apparent cure in Israel? Would be amazing. Yeah, no, there's no certainty on that, Gaj, but there is talk of people doing tests and getting into the testing phase for various coronavirus vaccines. We mustn't count our chickens yet. We're a long way off.
No, Damon's already got the cure. It's hot water and lemon.
In case
people haven't heard.
That's what I'm having this morning. and that's another thing. It's like these old wives' tales about what could be the cure. It's just incredible. Like people are saying, if you just put some baking soda and some lemon, and you're like, what? You really think? You think if that could have cured things, we wouldn't have been able to save millions of lives throughout history?
Yeah, I had a helper who was here last night. She pulled me into the corner of the kitchen.
Yeah.
She goes, listen, I need your help tomorrow. I'm like, what is going on? What do you mean? She goes, okay, so tomorrow, if you can just go out and you get me some whiskey. I heard whiskey helps.
Oh, my goodness.
Can just get me a tiny bottle of whiskey.
Oh, boy.
Because that will just make my chest feel warm. I'm like, oh, here we go. Everyone has some sort of remedy. Well,
apparently, we're not allowed to buy liquor, and we're not even meant to consume it, supposedly. And we can't – first of all, Zweli Mkhize said we can go for walks and we can go for jogs. And then later on in the press conference after that, Becky Tele said, no, we can't. So I don't know what we're allowed to do and what we're not allowed to do here.
Yeah, it's a tricky one in that case. But also, I get why they say we can't consume alcohol. It's actually a wise decision like that. But that's not going to stop people from stockpiling that of all things.
Are you kidding? I think a lot of people are just getting – they're waiting for an excuse to get hammered.
So I was seeing there's a limit of you can only buy 3 cases at a time.
Mm-hmm.
I was at I went to go and refill some water bottles, and next door there was a guy fighting to get more than 3 cases.
Oh, really?
And that's all he could get. Yeah, 3 cases of whatever you buy. So
this will find.
And South Africans, and we drink way too much already. I don't know what people are going to do. What do you think people are going to do? Like, what? All of a sudden, drink orange juice?
Listen, we've got alcoholics, and the worst thing for an alcoholic is to be on their own with a bottle of whiskey or something.
Mm.
That's just a bad recipe. Anyway, we've got to get to the headlines. It's just after 6:30. So the first thing you need to know is hydroxychloroquine, which is an anti-malarial drug. Donald Trump said that this thing's a gift from God. It's been praised by some for its potential ability to fight the new coronavirus, but it's found to be no more effective than the standard treatment in a small Chinese study. The paper, which was published on the 6th of March, looked at 30 COVID-19 patients, half of whom received the medicine. After 7 days, 13 of the patients who were on the drug tested negative, compared to 14 people who were not on it. So it makes very little difference. Yeah, one of the patients on the drug went on to develop severe illness, while the median time taken for the individuals to recover was similar in both groups. So statistically negligible, right?
Yeah, no, that's
not science.
There's nothing there. No. Nothing there, I'm afraid.
EWN reporting this morning that the Reserve Bank has announced new measures to ensure the flow of cash in the economy. They're printing more money because they're worried that people are going to stockpile money and that people need cash to buy the basic essentials. So the extraordinary move that they've made is to cushion the impact of the coronavirus pandemic. The SARB announced several measures to ensure the cash flow of the economy, as we deal with the crisis is regular. The interventions include quantitative easing that would see the central bank buy longer-term government securities, and that aligned with the approach of other central banks around the globe as an economic impact of this virus is starting to take its toll on the world economy. I noticed US stocks bounced back yesterday. So if you are watching any of that stuff, it's so unpredictable and so irrational at the moment, but the U.S. is pumping money into its economy. So for a little while yesterday, things were on the up and up. I don't know if that continues to be the case, but we'll find out, no doubt, come Monday with Anthea, what the thing looks like in the longer term. In other news, because there's so much going on that is coronavirus related, the BBC is reporting that this is a man who was accused of deadly attacks on mosques in New Zealand. Do you remember him?
Yeah,
in Christchurch.
The guy who had it on his GoPro.
Right. A year ago, he was accused of those attacks on the mosques. He's pleaded to 51 charges of murder. He's pleaded guilty to those charges. He also admitted the attempted murder of 40 people and one terrorism charge. He had previously denied the charges and was due to go on trial in June. The gun attacks at two mosques sent shockwaves around the world. In the wake of the killings, New Zealand has brought in stricter gun laws. And no members of the public were allowed into the hearing. Tarrant, which is his surname, from New South Wales in Australia, and his lawyers appeared via video link. So obviously things are changing there if he's just admitted that he is guilty. He probably took one look at the world economy now and COVID-19 and thought, well, in for a penny, in for a pound, I'll just go to jail.
Be his lawyers. You could not pay me enough.
Sure, imagine. And in Turkey, prosecutors have charged 20 suspects, including two former top aides to Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman, over the 2018 murder of Jamal Khashoggi. Prosecutors accuse Saudi Arabia's deputy intelligence chief and the royal court's media czar of leading the operation against Khashoggi and giving orders to a Saudi hit team. Khashoggi, who was 59, a commentator who wrote for the Washington Post, was killed after he entered the Saudi consulate on the 2nd of October 2018 to obtain paperwork for his wedding. The Saudi insider was strangled and his body was cut into pieces by a 15-man Saudi squad. Remember that story? Inside the consulate? His remains have never been found despite repeated calls by Turkish officials for the Saudis to cooperate. So they've decided enough and Turkish prosecutors are now charging 20 suspects, including those two former top aides to the Saudi Crown Prince, with murder. Interesting times, yes.
Still a scary story.
Speaking of cutting people up, Blind History's out. If you haven't heard the Idi Amin episode.
Yes.
I was waiting to see where that segue was going. Speaking of cutting people up, you'll never guess what I did last night. I don't know where that was going.
Well, Duncan saying from Wimbledon, Duncan messaged us and said the Blind History episode about Idi Amin was top class. People need to know he was a massive doer. Great work, Gareth. Duncan. Okay, Duncan, thank you very much. We're going to probably speak to Anthony Medera, who's the MD of Taylor Blinds. You know, we're starting a feature on Monday where we will be talking to different South Africans in different places under lockdown to find out what living in lockdown is like for everybody. See how it compares to the way you're living. It might just make you, it might make you feel less bad about your circumstances, you know?
Yeah.
Mariah Carey, who wants to know some news about her?
I do.
Me.
Mariah Carey, yeah. Billie Eilish, and Tim McGraw will headline a benefit concert on Sunday, playing from their homes to raise money to help fight the spread of coronavirus. Isn't that cool? The one-hour special, hosted by Elton John and broadcast on Fox and iHeart radio stations, is the first major nationwide event in the United States to harness celebrity power to help those affected by the disease.
Hey, why didn't they pick Bono?
Oh, Bono. Oh, did anyone see Bono singing from his house? That piece of shit.
Annoy you.
Why did you have to bring that up? I was having a good morning. That fucking Bono. You know, first of all, if you watch this video of him singing in his house, you realize how untalented this asshole is. It's
my only thing is, when's he going to take those glasses off?
Mulele, do you know he has like an eye disorder, and that's why he wears the glasses.
He's such a douchebag, that guy. I can't stand him. I really can't stand Bono.
Oh. It's a beautiful day.
You see, you just did that better than him, and we know you can't sing.
I don't know if that is a real compliment.
You know, Larry Mullen Jr., Adam Clayton, and The Edge are the talent in that band. And believe me, I used to be a big U2 fan. I listen to most of their stuff now, and very little of it has the impact on me that it did when I was 20. But that Bono, we could do without him.
Ouch.
Coronavirus. I'm still here. By the way, I still only hear Cardi B. Hey, whenever anyone says the word coronavirus,
coronavirus.
That's all I hear.
She should have been headlining this concert.
Actually, yeah.
No, she's such a mongrel. She would have spread the coronavirus. All she wanted to do the other day was go out. Remember?
Yeah.
It's all she wanted to do.
All things.
Yeah. She's like, I want to go out. There's nothing for me to do here. I want to go out. She's insane. Someone sent me a... I don't even know if it's still live, but I'm going to try and find it anyway. An updated video of her. And she's talking about how now suddenly she's maybe a little more serious about things. You know, like now she's got to take it seriously. I don't think I'm going to be able to play this because I think it's expired already. But here she is talking about it. Cardi B.
So anyways, y'all, I'm freaking out. You want to know something? Because there's one time, there's a couple of times I'd be like, you know what? We're going to be fine. We're just going to be stuck in the house and whatnot. But then I start freaking out because I keep seeing all these military trucks in the streets and whatnot. I keep seeing videos and shit. And my thing is that I'm scared that these motherfuckers do the martial law. Now, and I want to let the government know right now, the niggas right now, we is locked in the crib because it's cold outside. It's cold outside, and we want to know when is this shit going to finish.
So she's asking questions everyone's asking, but she's just got such a horrible way of putting everything. She's like, We on the lockdown and we're staying in the crib because it's cold outside, but we want to know when this is going to end.
Cardi B is basically a Frank Drescher the nanny child with someone like, what's Pasta Manning?
Yeah, right, exactly.
Or Flavor Flav, like if, yeah.
Yeah, if Flavor Flav and the nanny had a child, that would be Cardi B.
Yes.
God, she's terrible. We love her. Unbelievable. All right, so two quick things. We still don't know whether you can walk the dog or whether you can go for a jog or you can go for a walk because the two ministers were like, they were countermanding each other. You've got Becky Taylor saying, no, you can't go anywhere. Don't walk, don't run. And then you've got Zweli Mkhize saying, no, you can. You can go for a short walk or run, but don't have contact with other people. Right?
Yeah, that's sort of
my advice. Listen to the one who once said, "Shoot to kill."
Yeah, because he's the one who will, he'll shoot to fucking kill you. Exactly. So yeah, right. Stay away from that.
Listen properly.
Listen properly. Yeah. So that's a bit of a scary one. Later on in the Burning Platform, we will be joined by Ivo Fechter, who has just left the Daily Maverick. He used to write for them, and he's writing now for the Daily Friend. So we'll find out what's on his agenda. He's from Knysna this morning. And we'll speak to Canthan, who's in Plettenberg Bay. So between the two of them and the rest of us and you, we've got a busy morning ahead of us. And by the way, we launched yesterday the first of a series of podcasts by Fluxmans and Cliff Central, which will allow you to figure out what rules apply during a shutdown, a lockdown, what you have to pay for if you're an employer, what you should expect if you're an employee, what the rules are. Because as Pinky will tell you, no, she's a lawyer, some of the rules are suspended when the government makes an announcement like this, and some of them are still very much in force. It's very hard to figure out what's right and wrong. And we actually spoke to some of the best lawyers at Fluxmans and decided, you know what, let's create a couple of podcasts. You can pass these around to your friends, your colleagues, your employers, your employees, and say to them, look, guys, this is what the best lawyers have to say. So let's all pay attention, shall we?
Yeah, I think the tricky part is if this goes beyond 21 days and you're with your family, there's going to be tough decisions that have to be made, you know, like who has to go first. I think that's when this lockdown thing gets interesting for me. Start making interesting decisions about loved ones.
When you say who has to go first, what do you mean, like back to work?
No. I mean, when we get to zombie times now, you know?
Oh, when we have to start eating each other, yeah.
There's not enough food around and someone's got to go.
What the crackpot is going on with you?
This is the reality, Sia. Prepare yourself. Ninga, okay, how many of you at home, Sia?
Oh, my goodness. I'm not even going
how
to
many of you? How many of you, Sia? I'll answer his question.
Right now in the house, there are 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and I'm 7.
I'd start stockpiling a few things in your room, Sia, if I were you, just in case. Just in case.
So, Mbulelo, I want to find out what you think about alcohol-free South Africa. I mean, we're not supposed to drink, and people certainly are not allowed to buy alcohol. We can't get together and drink together. So what do you think of this alcohol ban?
I think it's fantastic. I mean, my opinion is we drink too much in this country already, and I've always had a notion when I used to drink to the rafters, it's like when I look back, it's like alcohol should be a celebration thing. And I'm afraid over the last 10, 15 years, we don't have much to celebrate in this country, so I don't know why we drink so much. It's ridiculous. It's health-wise, of course, okay? So that's awful. Logical standpoint, why do we drink so much in this country? I just don't understand it.
And again, like, there are a lot of people who spend all their money on alcohol, and that is such a waste of money.
I think it's great. Like, we don't need to drink so much. We've got so many real problems, including health. But no, I think it's excellent. Biggie Tele with that great hat. Tell them.
You like that, huh?
I love it. I don't like it. I love it.
Do you think people are going to abide by this?
It's difficult to control because, you know, brought up living in where we live. Most of South Africa is an informal economy. So how do you legislate for taverns in places like Elsie's River? Like, you just can't. You know, we think, oh, the rules should apply everywhere. But most of this country is informal. So, unfortunately, I think
most of the country is ungovernable, frankly.
Yeah. And civil disobedience is abound, you know. So I unfortunately don't think so. Not in this country. Not from what I've seen and the background I come from. There's civil disobedience everywhere.
You know, Pinky raised something the other day when we had her on last Thursday, and she said that her sister has invited her Xhosa ex-boyfriend to spend the lockdown with her. I'm wondering how many families... How many young couples are trying out staying together for the 21-day lockdown? Because that'll really test your relationship. And if you don't like someone after day 3, you've still got a fortune of time for them to be stuck in your life. Oh, my God. Can you imagine the hell?
So I was actually meant to go home. I was going to go to my sister's place up until she told me that he's coming. And I was like, nope.
Oh, is that what that's what changed your mind?
Spending 21 days. Yeah, that changed my mind completely. And I mean, I was looking forward to seeing my nieces, my nephew, but with him in the house, oh no.
Yeah. What's happened there? I thought he was gone and then he came back. And he was, it's the second time he was gone and back again. Third time now, actually. Sorry.
I don't even know. Hey, like, but this whole 21 day, I wouldn't be able to. No.
Now, Pinky, is there a particular reason why you highlight the fact that he's Xhosa?
You know, I was thinking about it after.
Can't he just be your sister?
Yeah, that Xhosa boyfriend.
Guys, just on that note, I just want to point out, like, when the Minister of Small Business, I think it was, I don't know which minister it is, but she said the other day, is it Lindi Wazulu? Because she announced that spaza shops will be kept open, but only spaza shops that are owned by South Africans. Now, I don't like that. I feel like that is the kind of thing that where government is being asked to lead us morally and to do the right thing, it bothers me that they're being xenophobic in a moment like this. Really? I mean, what difference does it make if Somalians or Nigerians or Mozambicans or anyone else is selling the fruit outside your house that you need to live? You should be able to buy from anyone you like. And the fact that they even brought that up is just terrible.
That's disappointing.
Some of these bus shops are operating on premises of South Africans.
Well, exactly.
Like a garage to them. So I don't really know how they're going to regulate this. So, yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
This is something we may be able to do post-lockdown, Gareth, but one of the more troubling things for me has been worldwide, the politicization of this tragedy, and you're seeing elements of it there, right? That's really not a government thing. That's an ANC thing. We're playing to low-hanging fruit, right? So that's a very concerning
I think it's very cheap, and it's like when they tried to sneak in that 51% black-owned thing for the business relief, as if black-owned companies are hit harder than white-owned companies, and as if we should discriminate in a time like this. This is a time of huge stress for everybody. And I know that it was just a discussion paper, and it was debunked as fake news because eventually we found out that it wasn't about your BEE status. If you needed help, you'd get help from government. Rightly so. But the fact that that was even in a discussion paper is very upsetting. And similarly, the xenophobia. And Mbulelo, you're 100% right. This is an ANC problem. The ANC are guilty of this stuff at every turn. They play to their base. They play to their core like any political party in the world. But at a time like this, it's especially ugly when you do.
So let's not judge each other based
on
that.
But the reason we brought this up is because Pinky decided to discriminate against her sister's Xhosa ex-boyfriend. So why do you bring that up?
Oh man, I don't know, but it highlights or it puts in more color to the person that I'm talking about, you know. And you know,
Pinky, I understand.
He takes ownership of the whole house. It's as if it's his house, you know. He'll put his feet on the couch. He'll tell us what to do. He even changes our schedule. So
So that's the real problem you have with it.
Sounds closer to me.
Oh, it is. It is.
Yeah, he sounds as close as it gets.
Shame on all of you.
So I was willing to just stay at my pace. I was like, nope, there's no way that I'm going to bloom.
Yeah. See, tell us, are you in your own bedroom now that you're back home? Because you haven't been in that bedroom for some time. I mean, it's not even your house anymore, right?
I really do feel like my family is just pushing me further and further out. Because the last time I came here, over December, my room was changed to a temporary guest bedroom. And I could tell with the linens, the silk linens that my mother had, and the decorations had just all changed. And I thought, well, this is weird. Now, when I arrived last night, I found the bulk of my things all in boxes in the study. And when I walked into what I knew as my old bedroom, firstly, it was the jarring lilac walls.
Oh, wow.
But now since something else is happening here. But my niece has now taken over my bedroom. And I feel like, she's going over the lines now.
So are you sleeping in there?
I had to sleep in there. I was sleeping in a princess bed. There was the whole Disney cast staring at me.
Oh, really?
They're posting up on the wall.
Have you had linen, linen featuring the girl from Frozen?
Elsa, best believe I now know her by first name.
Sorry, I don't know.
So I'm just going to now accept that for the next 3 weeks. I've been shut out.
So you've gone from man girlfriend to side plate now.
Yeah. I think I'm not even the side anymore. I was the side.
Shame, Sia. That's terrible.
They've even moved past. Yes, says the guy who's broadcasting from the laundry room.
I want to go to one or two messages quickly. And Plang saying, is there a human being as loud as Cardi B? Perfect instrument for any public announcement in a squatter camp is Cardi B. Just hire her to go around. And then Stofi saying, what about alcoholics who are literally dependent on alcohol? Alcohol withdrawal is not pretty, and those going through it will need medical care, as if extra people at hospital are needed right now. Yeah, that's a good point, too. Gareth, I live in Cape Town, and we haven't had our rubbish collected in 2 weeks. Apparently, the garbage collection people say they won't collect until they have gloves and masks, which has not been done. The last thing I need is 5 weeks of rubbish piling up outside my house. Chris.
Oh, good point.
Yeah, then you get other diseases festering, right? Marius says, my hubby and I got married 3 weeks ago and have been staying home since Tuesday. If we make it through the corona lockdown, I'm sure we'll survive our marriage forever. All right. Oh, that's Chantel.
Great point.
Chantel saying that. Yeah. All right, Chantel. Awesome. One last thing. Yerasia, you don't need a room in your parents' house anymore. Get over yourself. That's from Duncan.
Yes, I do. I am a member of this family. Thank you very much.
And you're the last born, you know, so definitely you should still have a room.
Yeah. Thank you, Pinky.
What they're telling you is you are a former sanguine.
Yes. Now you're on your own. You're officially you're officially an adult, Sia.
Umdala, get out.
Get out.
I don't
out.
Like this conversation at all.
All right. When we come back, we will be joined by Canthan Pillay. He'll be on the line from Plet, and we'll have Ivo Fechter on all the way from Knysna to talk about what's going on in the Burning Platform. Don't forget those podcasts from Fluxmans. We've got episode 3 and 4 today at 8 o'clock. Make sure you listen. And if you go to cliffcentral.com, you follow the links, you can send these to all the people who are not sure about what the coronavirus and the lockdown, the effect of that's going to be on their careers, on their jobs, on their wages, on the labor laws around South Africa and whether or not they've changed. You can find out all of that and more from the expert lawyers of Fluxmans, and that's coming right up. Cliffcentral.com. I hope you're having a good start to your day today. Pinky, thank you for joining us. We will see you on Thursday next week.
Yes, thank you, and good luck to everyone, eh?
And to you. I mean, this is not going to be easy. It's all fun and games now, but later on, when we're all bored with this idea of being at home, there's going to be depression, there's going to be sadness, there's going to be grief, all of those things people are going to be dealing with. So don't forget, you've got a world of people out there you can connect with electronically if you are on your own. And otherwise, you know, just walk around a little bit, spend a little time exercising, get those endorphins going, and you'll feel a bit better already. Okay, that's all we got time for now. We come back with a Burning Platform next. CliffCentral.com.